Sunday Podcast. As always, I'm your main host, Shannon. Joining me this week is my co-host, Mamatz. Mamatz, say what's up to the people.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Hey, woo! Let's jingle that bell, shall we?
I don't even know what to say about what you just did. I am in that Christmas spirit, so I'm gonna give you a pass on that one. What you just did.
That's all right. Just a pass. Okay. Oh. Barely passing the grade, man. Okay. All right.
I will barely passing the grade.
Oh no.
All right, folks. So welcome back to another episode of Shiitake Podcast. This week we have a bit of another issue. I don't know what's going on with anime right now, but they need to knock this shit off. So we had planned to review Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2. Apparently, yes. 6 months is not enough time for Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2 to finish. So we had to call an audible, and we are going to review Jujutsu Kaisen Zero. So we're going to review the movie that they released for Jujutsu Kaisen between Seasons 1 and 2. Instead, while we wait for Season 2 to finish, while we also wait for Season of Zom 100 to finish.
Oh, my. And another one, the Demon King Academy one, if I recall correctly. That one is already finished, though.
Yeah,
that one is
already finished. Yeah, but Demon King Academy, we weren't in the middle of watching the damn thing when they were like, hey, so about that final episode. Like, we weren't in the middle of the shit. If you want to take the time and delay Season 2, I got no issues with you. If you want to say, I want to make this as good as possible, so you're going to need an extra, 3 months before we release it. Cool. Thanks for letting me know. I'll be over here waiting, twiddling my thumbs. But if I'm in the middle of the goddamn show and I reach the last episode and that is not the last episode, we have a problem.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, MAPPA has some issues with their staff currently and their illustrator and animator. Apparently, they were being treated very poorly and it is showing in the shows, apparently. So, yeah.
Right, I'm not saying that you need to keep pushing your artist to the breaking point. What I'm saying is delay your release to give your artist the time they need to recover and put out the best product possible. You don't have to rush.
I mean, this happened because the fans
will still be there.
This happened because the movie, they managed to make it in such a way that the whole thing is produced within 4 months or something crazy like that. So the higher ups expect that the second season will be the same, I guess.
Higher ups need to stay the hell out of people's way.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, enough about that.
Yeah, we're going to move on past the past bitching about MAPPA. And we're going to continue on and act like this is just a normal awesome episode of Shiitake Podcast. And like every other episode, we're starting off with a topic of the week. And this one is an article from CBR.com. Once again, I swear to God, they need to be a sponsor of this podcast. This article was chosen by Mamatz. And this is 10 anime debates that will never end. Subtitle on this is some anime debates will never reach a consensus, like subs versus dubs, or the merits of fan service.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's take a look at these and see if these are debates that have an end. And if it's one I have feelings about, you're going to hear it. So,
yep. I guess so, the first one will show us. The first one will show us, I guess.
Yeah. So let's do this. Starting off strong at number 10. Was Dragon Ball's Kid Buu the strongest variation of Majin Buu?
Okay, this is all you, man. I don't know anything about this.
Absolutely, he was. He was. And it's very simple as to why. It really is simple as to why. When you're talking about a fusion in the world of Dragon Ball Z, or Dragon Ball, or whatever you want to call it. They've discussed this many times with things like the Patong earrings and the fusion dance. Your power levels must be as close as possible. The reason being is you cannot take a 100 and take a negative 5 and expect to get 105. You will get a 95. Okay? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you fuse with someone weaker than you, your overall power will drop. It is a culmination thing. That's why Goku and Vegeta are perfect partners for fusion, because their power levels are nearly equal. So they can only go up together. There's no deficits there. The thing about Kid Buu, and I want to make sure I get this person's name right, because I know that's been decades since I've watched this show. Absorbed a particular Kai. I believe it was a Supreme Kai, but this particular Supreme Kai was known for how weak he was, if I remember correctly. Again, his Kid Buu absorbs Supreme Southern Kai and later Grand Supreme Kai, turning him into Fat Buu. So the Grand Supreme Kai is what I want to know about, so let's look him up. I think we're going to spend all our time on this first topic, I swear.
It's okay. I mean, how many variations of Majin Buu that they have, though?
Oh, there's a lot. So ones that we see in the show, ones that we actually see in the show, we've got Fat Buu, who is the first one that comes out originally. Then you have Gray Buu, or Bad Buu. Then you have Big Bad Buu. Then you have Goku, Gohan Majin Buu. Then you have Piccolo Majin Buu. And I think he absorbed the Gotenks. So you had Gotenks, Piccolo, Gohan, Majin Buu, and wow. Then you had Kid Buu. So mind you, these are not all individual characters. What it is every time Buu absorbs someone, he mm-hmm. takes on characteristics of that person, including power level, attacks, even physical appearances. So okay. Like for some reason, when he absorbed Piccolo, he got Piccolo's cape. It's very weird. So
that's why.
It's very strange. Very strange.
Okay.
So that being said, he was okay. So after Mara, after he destroyed the Iragi system, mass extinction, blah 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 blah. He was very peace loving and gorged himself with food. When Majin Buu came, managed to save Shin from Buu. He battled Majin Buu, but was overwhelmed and absorbed. He unleashed a powerful attack of his own that blasted Buu into pieces. However, the Grand Supreme Kai was absorbed seconds later when Buu's floating particles converged on him. After that, he took on the form that looks remarkably similar to Grand Supreme Kai. His presence with Buu pacifies him to a degree. So, Majin Buu is pacified by, he's not weaker than, he's pacified by the Grand Supreme Kai. That's the problem. Is that Kid Buu is pure rage, anger, chaos. Imagine a Joker with Superman level powers. Okay?
Oh my, all right.
So who was more dangerous? The one that would destroy everything, or just to laugh at it, or the one who only gets upset because someone makes him mad and just turns that person into candy and eats them?
Oh.
Kid Buu is completely more dangerous than Majin Buu.
So why this he debate is stronger exists, than Majin Buu? Why this debate exists?
Because people believe that he is stronger than him because of the fact that he absorbed the Grand Supreme Kai. They, believing that increased his power beyond what Kid Buu was capable of. The problem is we're not measuring this by raw power. Nothing in Dragon Ball is raw power. The genius is like, it's over 9,000! But you still get your ass whooped with the right amount, with the right combination of attacks. So, it's kind of like Captain Ginyu was a bitch. 100% a bitch. Does that mean he was not able to whoop Goku's ass? Yes. Yes, he did. Why? Because he stole his body and then beat him like a drum. So, it's not only raw power level that we're talking about. It's also the ability, willingness, and desire to destroy or to beat someone into submission. Majin Buu doesn't have that. Kid Buu does.
Okay.
It's as simple as that.
So it is not a debate to begin with. It is not a debate to begin with then.
Not to me. Not to me. I just go off of ability and abilities and desire. Because you can say, well, he's the most powerful being in the universe, but if he has no desire to do anything, then what does it matter if he's not going to do anything? He's not a threat. It's kind of like Zeno. Zeno is the most powerful being in existence. Zeno does not interfere with things. So people who are lower than him have nothing to fear from Zeno. Goku Black literally had to get to the point where he was destroying all of creation and was immortal before Zeno was like, the fuck you think you doing? And snapped him out of existence. Prior to that, Zeno was not even a threat. So it's more to it than raw power levels. So Kid Buu wins this one. We're going to move on.
All right. Okay.
Oh, here's one you're going to have an opinion on. Number 9. Does fan service do more harm than good to a series?
Sometimes it does. Sometimes they just go.
See, this is a nuanced answer. It's not a one-size-fits-all thing.
Yes.
It strictly is a matter of what is the show? What is it about? What is the fan service's purpose? Is it done right, etc.? We can take a show like
the last one that we did, the Papa one.
Oh, listen to your Papa. I'm your papa. Yeah. You'll listen to me or whatever the fuck that is.
Yes.
Fan service has no business in that show.
Yes. That one harmed the shows. Yes. But
now,
in the
when we look at something like
Gate. Gate. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Gate was a great one. There was fan service in Gate, but they did it in a way that made it natural to the show. It was not overdone. It was not overbearing. It was funny at times. You can do it, and it works. It's very much a dependent on the show. High School of the Dead.
is one of the heaviest
fan service shows that has come out. But it is done in a way that is either A, extremely comedic, or B, plays well with the story and the characters and the sexual tension that comes from the situations they're in. It does not harm the show at all. So it very much is dependent on the situation.
Yeah, I mean, if it's just like a slice of life, drama stuff, don't you put like a very heavy fan service that doesn't suit a purpose in that show? If they have like the edgy team in there, like Sekirei or Infinite Stratos or something like that, or even like DxD, I guess that is okay. They are going towards that genre, I guess. Some genre that just doesn't need the fan service at all, you know?
No, you're right. Some don't need the fan service. They don't. That being said, certain shows are enhanced by it. It's purely based on the show.
Enhanced. Okay. Kobayashi Mad Dragon. I hate it, but people don't mind that one.
Okay. At least. Kobayashi Mad Dragon was done purely for comedic purposes. It did not enhance the series, but it did not harm the series either. It was purely a comedic element with Quetzalcoatl. That's it. So.
Okay. All right. So let's move on. It's not a debate.
Like I said, Konosuba was another one where it's like, no, it's purely to enhance the show. It's perfect comedic.
It's parody.
That enhances the show.
They are making fun of isekai.
It is. Genre.
Yeah.
They are, but like I'm talking about specifically Darkness. Darkness with her over-sexuality absolutely is comedic in its edginess, and that's the only purpose it serves, is to be comedic. It's not trying to be anything more than that. So, it's definitely show-dependent. Number 8. Can Bleach characters move faster than light?
What do you think? Why this...
I'm
going to
say
exists.
No.
This question exists.
I'm going to say no. I've never heard this one at all.
They cannot move faster than light. Like, why?
Okay, so this one's interesting. So, there's a reason for this. So,
okay.
Apparently, due to, I'm going to read the whole excerpt here. So, out of each anime in the Big Three, Bleach stirs up the most debates. When anime fans power scale characters in the series, it creates a ridge between those who believe they move faster than light and those who don't. The arguments usually stem from semantics surrounding the natural light and Bleach's spiritual light. Due to Bleach being heavily spiritual, some argue that any character reacting to spiritual light wouldn't be able to respond to actual light. While attacks like the Negacion and the Cero are beams of light, a person usually has to debate whether those attacks classify as actual light or not for Bleach characters to be faster than light. That, okay, knowing that is the reason for this argument, I would say no, they are not faster than light. They are not FTL. The reason being is that a Cero is not a laser beam. The Negacion is not a laser beam. It is a beam of spiritual energy.
Energy, yes.
Just because it's energy does not make it light. That's like saying a ki attack is a light attack. It's not. It is an energy attack. So therefore, it's not an FTL issue. They are not FTL. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just what it is.
This is not like a Bleach issue at all. This is just like whatever like attack that are based on light. It's considered like that dude is faster than light or something like that, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. That one doesn't work. Yeah.
It doesn't. You're not faster than light just because your attack looks like light.
Okay. All right.
So that was an easy one. Number 7. Are one-dimensional protagonists a bad thing?
One-dimensional.
Okay.
One-dimensional, huh? So okay, you are so talking about...
Okay, so they're using Goku and Naruto as examples where they have a one-track mind that some audiences find too predictable to care about the overall story. Goku is all about getting stronger. Naruto is all about becoming a Hokage. But that doesn't make them one-dimensional. Goku's one-dimensional. Goku's one-dimensional. Naruto's not one-dimensional. Naruto has many facets to his personality. He is not one-dimensional. Goku is one-dimensional.
So is Goku a bad character?
I don't... the Dragon Ball Z fan in me wants to say no.
Just be honest, man.
It's hard to say, and I'll explain why. I'm not trying to cop out.
Okay.
I'm not trying to cop out. It's hard to explain, and I'll say why. The audience that it is designed for is a key factor. Goku being designed for young boys, he is about as dimension. He's about as multidimensional as a young boy cares to see.
Yes, at first Goku, the show as a are leaning towards the young boys. Yes.
Right, but you can't take that character and change him, because then you'll change the entire character. Goku is supposed to be a one-dimensional character. If you want layers, you have other characters to go to. You have Vegeta for that. You have Gohan for that. But Goku is a very simple character. And I kind of think that's why Akira Toriyama was trying to put Gohan as the new main character after the Cell Saga, was because he wanted the show to grow more. And that would have been a way to give you a multidimensional character. Naruto accomplished the same thing by making Naruto age. Starting him as a 10-year-old boy.
Same goes for Goku then.
And then taking the break and having him come back. No, because you have to remember, Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z are two very different types of shows. They're two very different types of shows.
Of course, but they feature the same characters.
Was strictly, they have the same characters, but it's a very different. It's kind of like watching
Naruto and Naruto Shippuden is not the same. Is that what you are saying?
No, it's not. But no. Hold on. Let me finish my thought out here. The reason I say they are very different types of shows is because you have Dragon Ball, which is a show about a young boy trying to find a mystic item, going on adventures, having fun with friends, a lot of comedy, some fighting, but mostly it's about the adventure aspect and the comedy.
Yes.
Dragon Ball took a sharp left turn. Dragon Ball Z took a sharp left turn and became primarily a fighting anime. Everything about the show was to get to the next fight. Everything was about the fighting. The comedy was dialed down way down. The adventure was almost non-existent. It's just, where do I go to get to the next fight? Not necessarily, I'm going on an adventure to meet a new dinosaur that I'm going to kick it with for the next 6 months. And he's going to be my pet dinosaur. You know? So it was very much a change in what the show was. Naruto only went from, it's a show about a literally young child boy. Soldiers.
Young boy.
Child soldiers.
Child soldiers.
Soldiers, wow.
Child soldiers. We didn't know that even.
He was soldiers. A show about child soldiers training to be great. Naruto being rejected by all those who are around him for something he doesn't even know about. And then him wanting his only goal was to prove them wrong by becoming the greatest shinobi in the village, i.e. the Hokage.
And then this
Naruto Shippuden.
Yeah.
Right. But Shippuden literally continues on from Naruto with just a time skip. Naruto is still, the only difference in the goals is that Naruto now wants to find his best friend and rescue him, and he still wants to become Hokage. The character literally just grew. The show as a whole didn't change. The whole show did not change. It was just time skip, more mature tone, and the main character's goal has an extra check mark that he has to get to. But the core of the show remained the same. Dragon Ball to Dragon Ball Z did not do that. But we are going way the fuck off track with this.
Yeah.
Naruto is a multifaceted character more than Goku is. Goku is very single, one-dimensional. Luffy is more one-dimensional than Naruto, in my opinion. But again, that's my opinion.
I mean, Goku starts,
I don't
as
think
a child,
the show, though.
I don't think that he's one-dimensional then. He starts like doing an adventure and making friends.
Right, but that's the thing, though. No, Goku in Dragon Ball isn't one-dimensional. He's multi-dimensional. Yeah. He's multifaceted. Mm-hmm. Goku in Dragon Ball Z and Super and GT, who we don't talk about, is one-dimensional. And that's what I mean. There's a change in the character that makes him one-dimensional for the majority of the alternate series. While Naruto is still a multifaceted character in both series.
All right.
But so, I don't think a one-dimensional protagonist is a bad thing. Back to the fucking question. Okay. I don't think a one-dimensional protagonist is a bad thing. If the show is designed to make up for that. If you have a show where it's just like, I'm going to be the greatest in the world, and there's nothing else in there than, I got to be the greatest in the world. It's pointless. It's a terrible show. But if you have it to where, okay, you use the rest of the world to bring in the other dimensions, you bring in strife and pain and sorrow and friendship and all this other stuff. And there you have other characters that make up for the one-dimensional main character. Then it doesn't matter as much.
Okay, so here's a question before we end this point. Is One Punch Man a one-dimensional character?
Hell yeah! Saitama is absolutely a one-dimensional character, bro. But One Punch Man is a great show because the rest of the world makes up for him being one-dimensional.
Season one, okay.
I say a great show. Huh?
Season one is okay, but season two,
Season two is a little weak, but it's not because of Saitama. It's because the story kind of fell off. So that's a different issue. It's not Saitama that's the problem.
Yeah. They couldn't introduce any more like stronger opponents to face Saitama,
right.
I guess. Yeah, that is a problem.
Well, and they set one up, but they're like, he's going to be in season three. And it's like, ain't no season three.
Yep, no. All right.
Oh, this one's going to be a...
No. I
don't
know.
How dare you ask this question? Number six. Are isekai series worth watching anymore? Fuck
yeah.
You, sir.
Yeah.
Fuck
I
you,
mean...
sir.
I
yes, they are.
I might say previously.
Yes, you have.
They need to find some other way.
We've had this exact argument.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to read one. I want to read a sentence from here. A couple sentences. It says, the isekai genre is the most controversial genre to talk about when mentioning longevity in anime. Any longtime watcher will agree that 99% of isekai animes are virtually identical. The protagonists find themselves in another world with a skill other users believe is useless. After unlocking their potential to become a famous hero with a harem of women, this description fits almost every isekai. That is not true.
Not 99%. It's not
true. There's a lot of them.
But 80%, there's a lot maybe. Of them.
But yeah. That is not 99% is a little high. Mm. Now, we've had this discussion, and my point still fucking stands. You can apply this logic to any other anime genre, and no one says this shit. Okay? Slice of life anime is literally almost all the same fucking thing. I'm going to school. Shit happened at school. I go home. I go to school. Shit happened at school. I go home. When you simplify shows down like this, you make it really easy to have this non-nuanced argument about individuality.
Mm.
This is the thing about a genre. In order to fit within a genre, you have to hit certain key points. With isekai, you have to go to another world. Okay. Does the main character have to have a power that other people believe is useless? That is actually not true at all. A lot of these people, there's some where that's the case. There's a lot where that's not the case. They just are OP. That is a bit of a trope. Yes, I appreciate the ones where the character starts off weak as shit and grows into being strong. Like from Something to World's Strongest.
Arifureta.
Arifureta, thank you. Like Arifureta. He was a bitch. Then he got fell into a cave because someone tried to kill him. He ate a monster, almost died from eating the monster, and then unlocked potential and increased in strength from there while he fought his way out of the cave. I'm cool with that. You worked up to that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If that's the case, that's fine. Like, you're not starting off as a completely OP character just for no reason. But even with that trope, there are still ones that are funny to watch. The one we just did, was it Tsukunichi?
Yeah.
I think it was the one we did last week.
Yes.
Tsukunichi was an interesting one because he came in OP. He came in OP, but the way he was OP was hilarious. So it's all about how you do it and how you make your story unique within this world, this category of similarities.
I mean, to be fair, the industry knows about this too, and people are start getting tired of it, and they start to make something different and quirky and weird with this genre. They start to introduce,
and that's how we wind up with vending machine.
Vending machine, yeah.
That's how we wind up with vending machine. And I don't want to hear nothing, because that show was unique. It was funny. The character was not OP at all. It broke every rule of the isekai genre as far as the standard tropes.
Yeah.
And people still bitched about it. He died in a stupid way, not saving someone's life. He wasn't killed by Truck-kun. Like, the way he got to the new world was not stereotypical. When he got there, he was not the destined hero. No, he was a fucking vending machine that couldn't talk, couldn't move, couldn't do nothing.
Yes.
He worked his way up with strength while it became a hero with still not being able to talk or move.
He refused to, he broke
every
but
rule
still.
Of isekai.
He refused to talk, but still.
Right, he broke every rule of isekai, and it was still made a good show. It's good. Not about the genre. It's about how you tell the story. That show was good. I don't want to hear shit from you about that, okay? Just because you can't appreciate it.
I mean, we will see more of that kind of weird stuff from this point forward. Okay, all right. Okay, let's go.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to go over some. I want to go over this. So we have a list of anime genres, okay? We've got shonen, shoujo, seinen, josei, ichi, ecchi, harem, isekai, mecha, slice of life, kodomomuke, I've never heard of that shit, and ESUK, never heard of that one. Shonen, kids fucking superpowers, crazy shit. Okay, My Hero Academia, Bleach. All these shows literally are teenage young kid. Young kid got superpowers. Young kid gonna save the world.
Go adventure.
All the same fucking show with slight tweaks. Show Becoming show. Heroes. Magical girl. Every magical girl shit is the same. Seinen. Seinen is the one where you have the most variation because it's a very wide genre. But it's usually gritty. You have the one serious character who's your main straight shooter, your main character. Then you have the comedic best friend. There's a lot of gunfire. Again, you can boil this shit down to all being the same.
Yeah.
Jose is one I know nothing about. Paradise Kiss, Princess Jellyfish, Kids on the Slope. Yeah, I don't watch any of this shit. So I can't comment on this one.
It's kind of like Carnival. Lynn Stewart's.
I couldn't even.
I couldn't even.
Yeah. I have not watched enough to say, yeah, a lot of it's the same. Ecchi, need I say more? Harem, need I say more? Isekai, we've already discussed. Mecha, much as it pains me to say it.
Yeah.
Most mecha is the same. Giant robot, giant creature. Fight, fight, fight. Save humanity. Slice of life. I already talked about that shit. Now, what the fuck is Kodomuke? Oh, okay. Kodomuke is the kid stuff. So, like,
Kodomo. All right.
Yeah. I had no idea what that was a thing. That was an actual name or some shit. Also very much the same. Yo-Kai Watch, Pokemon. Hamtaro is unique in this shit. Doraemon, you have a kid, meets a creature, an animal, robot, something, a ghost. He changes their life, and they have to venture around the world, taming, capturing, or interacting with all the other creatures that are like this creature. Now, what the fuck is ESUK? Hold on, what are the examples? Rila Kuma and Kaoru, Nanon Biori, Kotaro Lives Alone, Mushishi. Natsume's Book of Friends. Never watched Spots. Any of that shit, so I don't know what this is.
Spots.
That's not sports. That is not sports, but yeah, sports anime are all the fucking same, bro. Like, Prince of Tennis. Okay, tell me what is the difference between Prince of Tennis, Blue Lock, and Beyblades. I'll wait.
Beyblades is for kids playing Beyblades. Prince of Tennis.
Mamas.
Blue Block is about quote unconventional inconventional soccer.
You have a member? No. You have a member of a team who is trying to win the greatest championship ever, who has ridiculous ass fucking powers that human beings cannot possibly do in the sport or game of their choice, where you can fucking summon a goddamn tornado with a fucking spinning top that's about the size of a half dollar, but then you can also kick a fucking soccer ball at Mach fucking 10, or you can teleport around the goddamn field, or you can do all kinds of crazy ass supersonic swings and fucking Prince of Tennis. I don't want to hear that shit, bro. Okay? Fucking Eye Shield. Fucking Prince of Tennis. Haikyuu?
Haikyuu. We just all got canceled. We just got canceled.
No, if you're going to cancel me because I said that these shows... I'm not saying these shows are bad. I'm not. I'm saying that you cannot come for Isekai saying they're all the same. When all the fucking genres literally are the same ships, but with different fucking skins. Okay? You tweak a little bit here, you tweak a little bit there, change this, change that, and you have a new show. That is literally how working within a genre works. So I'm so tired of hearing this argument of Isekai is all the fucking same. Shut the fuck up. Get a new argument. Don't talk to me no more.
This issue remains because, like, for the past half a decade, we already, like, see more than 50% of the new releases is Isekai, you know. Isekai genre.
Because Isekai is what's selling. Because Isekai is what's selling. It's literally, we've been through this before when Magical Girl was what was selling. Every new show was a Magical Girl anime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When we had Sailor Moon, when we had Cardcaptor Sakura, when we had, what was the dark one? Madoka Magica.
Madoka Magica.
Yeah, the fucking what? Synth Gear. There are so many magical girl anime in this goddamn world, especially when the craze hit back when I was a kid. I was around 10, 11. There were so many fucking magical girl shows that kept coming up. I don't want to hear this shit. It happens in waves, okay? There will be a new type of genre that will come out in like another 5 years, and then everything will be that, and y'all will be bitching about that one. So, guess what? Get the fuck over it. You don't like Isekai? Don't watch Isekai. Support the shit you want to support. Moving on to number 5. Which big three anime is the best? This fucking argument will never die. Will never die. Okay? Never die. This shit will go on until the end of time. Along with Dragon Ball Z is part of the big three. No, it's fucking not.
No, it is okay? not. It is no, not. It is not.
Mm-hmm. The big three are Naruto, One Piece, and Bleach.
And Bleach.
Why? Because Dragon Ball Z was not putting up the same numbers and was not at the peak of its success at the same time as these three shows. These three shows hit their peak at the same time, put up numbers like Shonen Jump had never seen at the same time, and were popular at the same time. Hence the big three. It's just the three. Now, which of these is the best?
It is up for debate.
It's 100% up for debate. Now, I'm not going to be the one to debate that shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have their own charm. Yeah, they have their own charm. And we can debate about it all
day.
They do. You know?
They do.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I couldn't say which one is the best. That is completely subjective. Right. Number 4, data book statements versus anime feats. Huh. Okay, so the most significant aspect of power scaling is using feats to quantify a character's strength. A character can range from moon level to, in extreme cases, outer versal level. The potential power levels are universally accepted as correct. However, the methods of scaling tend to vary. Many power scalers feel the statement isn't enough to prove a character's strength. Unless the character shows a feat that equates to the statement in question, most power scalers won't deem the statement credible. Oppositely, some believe a character doesn't need a feat to validate their statements. I would say a feat needs to be shown before you can say that, yeah, they are at that level.
Yes, because at least they need to show it somewhere. They need to have to have like a source or a reference point for that to happen.
Yeah. There's like Goku. Well, what is it? Goku was wasn't Vegeta like running around talking about how he was going to be like he was the legendary Super Saiyan and shit during like the Namek saga, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Only to find out, bitch, you're not the Super Saiyan. You're not a Super Saiyan. You're just a Saiyan right now. So you can say whatever you want until the feats are shown. You can't really confirm that it's true because you can say I can move faster than the speed of the light. Okay, well, bitch, move faster than the speed of the light. Show me. Then I'll believe you. Because you can say whatever you want until it's done or shown in the books to give you a feat to prove it. Not the case. So I'm going to say feat over data book statements.
Data book, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Now, this one's a good one. Which power system is the best?
Okay, this is all you, man.
What? You know some of this. So it's like,
Right.
Power systems are my I know why you're saying it's up to me. Power systems are my thing. I love a good power system as long as like it's got to have rules. It's got to be comprehensive. It can't just be move quick, do strong thing. No, yeah. There's got to be rules and shit to it. And honestly, as far as power systems go, I'm gonna say I'm leaning still with Nen from Hunter x Hunter. Nen from Dragon Ball is great. But yeah, so here's the reason why, and why I like it as a power system. P from Dragon Ball is a great system. It's purely based on how strong you are and how much you work to achieve your goals, but at the same time, you are limited by your race. So a Saiyan will always outmatch a human. The weakest Saiyan will probably outmatch the strongest human, period. But because Goku was the weakest Saiyan.
Yeah, so how... He was, how he Goku was, can achieve like the godlihood that he has now.
like literally his power level was just, I'm gonna work out with Master Roshi, which Krillin also did, and he blew past Krillin. He blew past every human martial artist that there was. Like he outshined every human by fucking season one of Dragon Ball Z. Right. Just end of the this period. So he is highly dependent on species. So it's not really that strong of a power system. It's just work out really hard and you get these techniques and then learn from other people. Let's see what else we got. We got cursed energy in Jujutsu Kaisen. I still don't understand cursed energy in Jujutsu Kaisen. That shit don't make no fucking sense to me at all. We're gonna talk about that when we get to the movie. Nen, on the other hand, Nen is very much a rule system. Everyone has the potential to be great. And it's really about what type of Nen user you are, because you are one of six. Six being a special where you could use more than one of another one, or you can be some of this, some of that. But also the contracts and rules you give yourself with your Nen are what make you strong in Nen. So like Kurapika.
Kurapika.
Mm-hmm. Is the perfect example. His Nen ability is one of the strongest. Why? Because he has one goal, to kill the spider gang. So his chains are unbreakable. This fool is fucking unbeatable when he's fighting a spider. Why? Because of the rule that he put on himself with his Nen. His Nen says, my chain is unbreakable. My power is unstoppable. But if I use this ability on anyone who is not a member of the spider gang, I die. That is about as serious as it gets. Go. Who is working up his ability because he's an enhancer, who's literally just about being strong and projecting his ability with rock, paper, scissors. Like, okay, that's kind of crazy. But his Nen ability, when he wanted to enhance his physique to the point of fucking peak, he basically said, I will give up my future time for the power that I would have in the future. So I will give up my life essence. All the future life essence I have, I will use up now for the power that I will have in the future. And he got it, and he almost died because of it. The rules in Nen are what make it a great power system. Because it's not as simple as, well, I want to learn this fancy technique, or I'm just a prodigy, or any of that shit. You have to work at it. You have to basically visualize and learn how to best use your Nen abilities, because not all Nen abilities are created equal. You have to learn how to use it properly, and then you have to create the rules of your Nen system. And if you do that properly, you can become a god in this world. The only one that comes close as far as like power systems go is kind of My Hero, but even then, it's not really a power system. It's just people with powers. There's not really a there's not an overall rule, but I do like the fact that they have the simple rule of, we are evolving toward our destruction by quirks getting stronger every generation because they keep combining, which will lead us probably to a point of death.
And then so, comes the Chimera.
My Hero close second. No. Shut the fuck up, okay? There's nothing wrong with the Chimera arc, okay? There is nothing wrong with the Chimera arc. Nothing. Okay? There's nothing in there that contradicts the Nen system in the show. Okay? Okay. So you want to bitch about the Chimera Ant arc? Tell me something other than, well, I was bored. Okay, so you don't like story. tell me you don't like story without telling me you don't like story. Get out of my face with that shit. There's nothing wrong with Hunter x Hunter. God, I'm not saying it's the greatest of all time, but I'm telling you, it's a good ass show. Yeah, because the only one that, the other ones that come to mind are like Yu Yu Hakusho, but that's not really a system. For me, it's Hunter x Hunter. The Nen system in there is just peak.
Okay.
Number two. Yeah, we're going to move on because you got Nen set. Number two, does a bad plot equate to a bad series? Yes.
Yes.
That's a stupid thing to say.
Yeah.
The plot is essentially what you're watching the show for. You can't just put pretty visuals on something and expect it to be like amazing. And that's why there's a saying, you can't put lipstick on a pig. Polish a turd, it's still a turd. Just because you make it look good doesn't mean it's going to be good.
Yeah, that's why the dumpster fire exists. Because exactly. It has a bad plot, yeah.
Now, the funny thing is, the funny thing for me is their example for this is Demon Slayer.
Demon Slayer, huh? Hmm. It doesn't have a bad plot to begin with.
It doesn't have a bad plot to begin with, but it loses its way.
Yeah,
losing its way. Mm-hmm. It's all flash and no substance at this point. But they can still correct that. There's still space for substance.
They are selling their animation at this point. No, they are not selling their story.
They're selling the art.
Yeah. And that is a problem. Mm. All right. Okay, last one.
Oh, the greatest debate in anime.
We don't have
to. Will never die.
We don't have to talk about this.
You know we do. We can't back out now. We can't back out now. Number one. If you're an anime fan, you know this debate. You've had this debate. You know what it is before I say it.
Mm-hmm.
Sub versus
dub. This is dub. I always go with the subs. I always go with the original voice.
I go back and forth.
Actor.
I go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's simple. I like dub because I can watch the show.
And you don't have to read
things. I don't need to focus as much. Well, no, it's not even about the reading. I don't have to focus as much on specifically the show. Because when I'm reading the subtitles, I have to read and then focus on what's going on. So it takes more processing power.
Yes.
Versus watching the show and just taking in the visual information and then taking in the auditory information and not sifting through and not doing double duty with the eyes. That being said, there's also something to be said about dubs for localization, because there's certain phrases and words and things that don't translate across languages. So let me pull up something real quick. Yeah, that's the word. Don't say nothing fucking weird, because it's not that. It's not like that. Okay, so there's a Japanese term called kuchisabishi, okay? Kuchisabishi. This is a common phrase in Japanese. We don't have a word like this or anything like it in English. The translation for kuchisabishi is lonely mouth.
Yes.
When you're not hungry, but you eat because your mouth is lonely. If someone is watching an anime and you see you hear the person say kuchisabishi, and then you see the words pop up,
lonely mouth. What
you are not going to know what the fuck is going on. You are going to be baffled and confused.
What the heck was that?
So there are certain things that, because they don't translate, they don't cross the cultural barrier like that. You have to do some subbing, some dubbing, and bring it into what we can understand. It's kind of like in English, well, in Southern. I'm not even gonna say in English. In Southern,
in English,
we have the same. Well, no. Southern is another language, bro. Okay. People say, well, America only has one language. You all speak English. It's like, no. We speak English as an umbrella. I speak Southern. I cannot speak Cajun. I cannot speak Creole. I cannot speak Geechee. I can't speak New York. I can understand New York. And I speak West Coast. Okay. If I go back to the South and they say, and like growing up, I heard it all the time. Heard all the time. Someone looked at you and say, "Boy, you about it's like what say? Say you about knee high to a Dutch butt."
Yeah, I don't understand at all. I don't understand anything at all. Yeah.
It basically just means you're short.
Oh, I get it now. Oh my God. Okay.
Do you see what I mean about things don't translate across the cultural barrier?
Oh my God.
And this is a simple one. Okay. Like, trying to use my headphone case as a mouse. Southern races. that don't translate. Oh, here we go. Southern phrases that Northerners don't understand. Too big for your britches. Okay. Yeah. I'm just gonna rattle off some of these. Mm-hmm. Okay. And from my most of our fan base is from the U.S. So those of you who are from the South, we're gonna take it all the way to Texas, about as far north as Tennessee. You know these. I know you know these. But people from, say, Montana might not. Too big for your britches. Busy as a cat on a hot tin roof. Fine as a frog's hair split four ways. Slower than molasses running uphill in the winter. I grew up saying slower than molasses going backwards, or slower than molasses on a cold winter's day. That thing is cattywampus. Can't never could. Deals my pickle. She could charm the dew right out of the honeysuckle. We're living in high cotton. Prettier than a glob of butter melting on a stack of pancakes. He's so rich he buys a new boat when he gets the other one wet. Every dog should have a few fleas. Don't let your mouth overload your tail. Or, for the hood side of me, don't write a check your ass can't cash. He's about as useful as an ashtray on a motorcycle. I have a hunkering for biscuits and gravy. Quit your piddling and get to work. These are all phrases that someone that's raised like me, by the people who raised me, where I grew up, I understand about 90% of these. There's two that we have variations of, or I've never heard. But if you took this and said it to someone in Japan, in France, in Africa, anywhere in Asia, they wouldn't understand what the hell you're talking about.
Yes. I mean, this happened as well in the modern days. We have modern slang as well with all the millennials.
Well, slang is different. Slang is a little different because slang is essentially just new words that haven't made it into the common lexicon yet.
I mean, so, some of them, yes.
Most of them. But slang would never be considered its own language. If you talk to someone who is Cajun or Creole, completely different language. It is its own language. Southern is damn near its own language. But the point stands. If you were watching an American film and someone told you, he's like, you know, I can't never could, what did that person just say?
You just can and never could.
It means you never can if you don't try. Or I never could. Deals my pickle. It's like, you know, that really deals my pickle.
I have no idea at all.
That irritates me. That bugs me. That chaps my hide. We're living in high cotton here.
I don't know.
It means you're living in luxury. You're living in luxury. You're becoming wealthy.
I mean, some of the modern slangs I like that too, right? Like low key, no cap, bet.
See, but there's a difference though. There's a difference between low key and no cap. Low key and no cap are not necessarily. They're not really phrases. They're How do I explain this? How do
you explain
this and Southern slang? Well, no, they're slang, but this isn't slang. This is Southern. The reason I say it's different is because it's a cultural thing. Slang is typically just done in a subset. So, like, young people use slang, but it's not a cultural thing. It's not a cultural thing. Like, no cap, no cap is not limited to a particular culture. It's not limited to a particular group other than age. That's the difference. So you wouldn't have something recorded in America and they say no cap, and people young kids in Japan wouldn't understand what no cap means.
Yeah.
With the internet the way it is, youth understands youth, but culture doesn't understand culture.
Mm-hmm. True.
You'll never find things like this in a dictionary. You'll never find this like. With an explainer video.
So, somebody already does that, maybe. Who knows, right? There's an explainer video for everything.
It's very similar to Naruto. When Naruto came out in America, he kept saying, every time he wanted to emphasize, he's like, believe it. That's not what he said in the sub. He cut that by up. We don't know what the fuck that means.
Yeah, that is the cultural thing in Japan.
Like I can't even spell it to in order to fucking translate it.
Datebayo, DATTEBAYO.
Oh, datta.
Date, DATTE.
DTE. Yeah. Datebayo. So it literally, so the basic way of translating it is like, it is.
Yeah.
He would not understand what the fuck that means. He is like, I'm coming to save Sasuke. It is. Motherfucker, it is what?
Yeah. That is the cultural
what,
thing.
It
and
is
the,
what is it?
It's kind of like that, saying...
That's what I'm saying.
You end every sentences with, you know, kind of thing, you know?
Okay. So as a Californian versus the whole ass world, it's kind of like when we say hella.
Yeah,
like hella is there. It's very hella. Much just a. It's just an exclamation. It's just an exclamation. It's like, man, that's hella stupid. I can't believe that. Man, I'm hella tired. It's you use it all the damn time. It doesn't actually mean anything. It just means very. You just don't want to say very because we say hella.
Yes.
So
yes, kind of like that. Yes.
Yeah. So, but you with that kind of slang, it's easy, but with cultural things like datebayo, it's harder to explain how
you
it
cannot,
works or why it's there.
You cannot explain it in Western terms at all.
Direct
translation-wise, yeah.
So for things like that, sub isn't necessarily better than dub, because you get the dub and you can add in your own thing so that we can understand what it is just an exclamation. And I was like, cool. His exclamation for what he's saying is like, I'm putting that on everything. Believe it. It's like, cool. He is serious about what he is saying. If you just said, it is, I don't know why you just said that, because you didn't finish the sentence. So that's what we're talking about. So
I mean,
I think each one has its merits in both, but
yeah,
especially as things have gotten better. It's not like back in the 80s and shit when it was just horrible. We've seen some horrible dubs.
We have seen some horrible subs as well. But why I stick with subs, because I love the original Japanese dubbing or voice acting, because they convey the emotion or they deliver the line far better than any other.
I disagree there. There are some voice actors who do American dubs or English dubs who go fucking hard. And like,
yes,
that is the voice of that character for me. It's like, I can't. Like, okay, prime example for me is Yusuke Urameshi. Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yeah.
the voice actor, I believe Yusuke is voiced by a woman. Am I correct?
Yes.
In Japanese.
Yeah.
The voice for me doesn't hit. He is a street thug. Okay, he be whooping ass all day, every day. Why he sound like his balls ain't dropped yet? It does not match to the character for me.
You start watching the show.
I prefer the dub.
With English dub. You start the show
right,
with English
even,
dub.
But it doesn't matter. I've had that same issue after that, where I've started with a sub and then I've gone to a dub, and the voice actors. For some reason, there's, like, I understand that this is their industry. You do what the fuck you want to do. I am not trying to tell you how to reform your industry. But the number of male characters that are voiced by females, it hurts my head, because there is no bass in anyone's voice. There is no masculinity in a lot of these characters' voices, where they're supposed to be masculine characters. If you had a female voice, or if you had a female presenting or a feminine voice voicing Kurama, I wouldn't say a word, because Kurama is a very effeminate character. They exude that kind of energy. I'm cool with that. But when you have like Jet from Cowboy Bebop, where he is a grizzled cigarette, like six pack a day smoker, and then he sounds like this, I can't do it. I can't do it. I need that gruff in the character. So when I have a male character who is supposed to be a masculine character, who is supposed to be exuding that energy, and I hear a very soft voice, it doesn't translate that character for me. So in certain instances, I prefer dub.
That is one circumstance. Naruto is fine, right? Naruto is voiced by a female.
I don't mind Naruto.
As well.
With Naruto, it's a little different, because Naruto, we're starting off with a 10-year-old. So at 10 years old, your balls haven't dropped yet. So your voice is still still on the softer side. I can ride with that. There's a lot of like child characters here who are voiced by women, and I don't have a problem with it. But it's when we get over that puberty hump, that's when it's like, what's up with the character's voice right now?
But Naruto proceeds with the same voice actor.
I would never say they need to change the voice actor because he aged by 3 years. Yeah. That actress was able to deepen his voice enough to where it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But overall, it's like when we're talking about emphasis and things like that, it sometimes they got it, sometimes they don't. So there are certain ones I prefer sub, certain ones I prefer dub. Neither one is really better than the other. It's a preference. People stop arguing preference.
Yeah,
you like what you like, and people don't like it, that's on them.
Back then, it is so bad that literally, like, you cannot watch the show at all. But nowadays, they have gotten far, far better, right? So, yeah.
Oh, they're so much better than back in the day.
It comes to your preference. So the key is, yeah.
The takeaway from this is just enjoy the fucking anime.
Yeah. We are sticking to this topic for so long, man.
This went way farther than it should have. You should have saw this coming when you brought up this topic. It didn't show up purpose. Shit.
All right. God damn it. If you want to read the article yourself, I will put the link, like always, in the description below. All right, guys.
All right, so now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's hit the whole reason we are here and discuss the pitch hitter for this week, which is Jujutsu Kaisen Season
Zero. Not season, it's a movie. Zero.
I don't care. It shouldn't be called Zero to begin with. Zero is an imaginary thing. You don't need to put Zero if it's Zero, just put Jujutsu Kaisen.
It's like, a prequel. Jujutsu
Kaisen, yeah. -1.
Yeah,
you don't have to put Zero, it's annoying.
They could have gone with the movie, but people will think like it doesn't matter. But yeah, I don't know.
So there's stuff I want to talk about in this, but let's go through the synopsis and our normal stuff first, and then we'll hit that. So the synopsis is going to come from animalist.net. Like always, it goes like this. Violent misfortunes frequently occur around 16-year-old Yuta Okotsu. A timid victim of high school bullying, Yuta is saddled with a monstrous curse, a power that dishes out brutal revenge against his bullies. Rika Orimoto, Yuta's curse, is a shadow from his tragic childhood and a potentially lethal threat to anyone who dares wrong him. Yuta's unique situation catches the attention of Satoru Gojo, a powerful sorcerer who teaches at Tokyo Prefectural Jujutsu High School. God damn, that's a mouthful. Gojo sees immense potential in Yuta, and he hopes to help the boy channel his deadly burden into a force for good Yet Yuta struggles to find his place among his talented classmates. The selectively mute Toge Inumaki, weapons expert Maki Zenin, and Panda. Yuta clumsily utilizes Rika on missions with the other first-year students, but the grisly aftermath of Rika's tremendous displays of power draws the interest of the calculating curse user, Sugura Geto. As Geto strives to claim Rika's strength and use it to eliminate all non-jujutsu users from the world, Yuta fights alongside his friends to stop the genocidal plot. That's a synopsis from animalist.net for Jujutsu Kaisen Zero. Scores and slow. Well, Max, what you got?
So this is an easy 8, and my slogan for it is, love is the most twisted curse.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
All right.
What was your score?
8.
8. I'm giving this one a 5. And my slogan is...
A 5?
Love is a chain that binds those... Sorry. Love is a chain that binds those who are most dear to us.
In a way, yes. Uh-huh. A 5. Wow.
5.
Oh...
And this is going to fade into season 2 since we started watching it.
I watched half of the season 2 already, so...
I was 2 episodes short before you told me that it wasn't done. I'm really tired of them introducing shit that doesn't fucking matter. and then them making it matter later on.
Is it like, in the movie?
They probably had this.
Or in the yeah, second.
So this whole movie, this whole movie, none of this shit mattered, right?
But we don't know that
none of this
yet.
Mattered from what we saw. Well, no, hear me out. Oh, yeah. None of this mattered in connection to what we saw in season one, right?
No, not really. It's just a backstory.
Because none of this has any relevance to what happened in season one, other than characters that you saw in season one are showing up here.
Yes.
So we're watching this with them saying, "Hey, look at all this stuff," and it's like, the fuck do I care about this for? Other than cool, more Jujutsu Kaisen shit has no connection to anything so far.
Yeah,
we get to season two,
mm-hmm.
and I can see why this, what this has to do with season two.
Yeah,
but then they pull the same thing in season two. When you start watching season two, do you flashback to some shit? And I'm like, the fuck do I care about this? I don't know none. Like, I don't need to see none of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they flash forward and reintroduce a couple of people. It's like, look, it had stuff to do with what we're showing you now. And it's like,
yeah.
Why didn't you do that part first? Like, if they wanted to make this work for me, what they should have did was go into season two, say, hey, there's a new threat on the horizon. All this shit's going down. I wonder who it could be. And then you have Satoru flash back and introduce all the previous shit.
But because this
we
is
literally
a new
saw this in the order of, no, it's not.
Season
it's
two
not
is
a new threat. This
season two is a new threat.
Season two is not a new threat. Season two opened up with a flashback. So I guess we're going to talk about season two as well. Season two opened up with Gotaro flashing back to the origins of his friendship with Geto.
Yes.
Okay? And to why Geto went dark and why he became who he became. So
true.
That set up the introduction of Geto in Zero, which then set up Geto's reintroduction in season two.
Yes.
I gotta learn how to double dutch to explain your story is a problem. You could have easily kept this shit linear by going season one, season two. Hey, shit's going down. Why is shit going down? Oh, well, this dude's doing some shit. I thought I killed that motherfucker. Flashback. Then you carry the flashback all the way through and then pick up where you left off. That is one jump. Very easy to follow. As opposed to season one wrapped up with a bow. Movie. Flashback before season one. Introduce the character. Season two. Jump back before season one. Before the movie. Talk about this dude. Jump back forward, which then jumps back to the movie, which then runs through and then jumps back to season two. Too fucking much. Okay? You did not need to release the movie for this. You needed to release season one, season two, which would have been the beginning of season two. Gojo introducing, saying, hey, this motherfucker's back, and then flashing back to what the movie was to be the rest of season two, ending at his death, and then picking up season three to carry on with what now is season two.
Okay, that's the reason.
Entirely too complicated.
That's the reason why that they didn't do what you just said, because this movie is a pilot project, or like this is what they are pitching to before they got a green light to release Jujutsu Kaisen. This is the
right, but that pilot doesn't project, yeah. That doesn't negate what I said. That doesn't negate what I said to do. You want to know why? This was the pilot project, right? This was not released. The season one was released.
Yes.
Season one came out first.
They don't like the pilot project. And they changed.
That's fine.
That's why season one exists, yeah.
That's fine. But that doesn't prevent you from doing what I said. You do season one, which they liked. Then you go into season two. You run up to the point where you have to introduce Geto. Then you flash back to the movie and have that carry you through the rest of it. So you only have to bounce back one time. And you're still following the same release order that they're doing, that they're currently doing. Like, you don't have to worry about them. It's like, well, Zero was a pilot project and they didn't like it. Well, it doesn't matter because they did season one. And now you're introducing Zero into the lore. That would have been fine. You could have easily done that by just changing the order that you released it in. And it would have made everything make so much more sense. It had been so much more seamless. But instead, we get this jumbled ass mess.
Yes, because they want to test the water first. They released the movie, want to see if people are liking the pilot project or not. Since they got like very huge positive feedback from the movie, that's why they created the season two. It is not like they are following the...
Hold up. That makes no sense. So you mean to tell me that season one was not your litmus test for if people wanted more Jujutsu Kaisen? They had to release a movie to determine if they thought people were going to want more of what people already said they wanted more of.
That is what I heard, yes.
That is a terrible explanation. Because you've already established, like when you talk about anime, you and I both know, they look at the sales numbers for the actual series, they look at the subscription services and streaming numbers, they look at secondary merchandise sales, all of that stuff, book sales, to determine if they're going to produce a season two.
Yeah.
All of that would have been established by the end of season one. The movie would not have helped that at all. The movie was simply another way to make additional revenue by putting that shit in theaters and getting theater money from the fan base, which is fine. I have no qualms against you getting theater money. Mm-hmm. The problem I have is that you now create this jumbled ass mess.
Yeah, that's why they are having problem with the season two delay and stuff. Because of this reason.
Right, because city director.
Because of this reason, man, they are pushing the animator and the illustrator to do the impossible. Because
right, but but that's the thing though. You did the movie. You already had that done. You could have literally just edited, like, just drawn out the first like six episodes of season two, and then just stopped and put in what you did for Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, and then that would have given you a whole ass another season to then let your animators catch up to what they need to do to finish out.
Yeah.
It's an easy fix that they're letting themselves fuck up. This is one of the reasons I gave it a five. Like, the other reason is, you keep introducing characters I don't give two shits about.
I mean,
I don't.
To be fair, y'all this keep movie, killing
sorcerers left and right.
This movie is the original character. They are supposed to be the original character.
Right. But you have to remember, I already said this is going to bleed into season two a little bit.
Yeah.
Because in my head, this is all jumbled up together because it's a continuation story.
Yes.
So in my head, this is all one thing. So y'all keep introducing characters that y'all just want to murk for no goddamn reason. And it's annoying. Stop introducing characters just for them to die. How y'all still got Jujutsu sorcerers when y'all motherfuckers just keep dying left and right? And he talked about, well, we need more sorcerers because then the world will be stronger. But motherfucker, you don't have no sorcerers now.
Yes.
You can't train enough sorcerers.
Because they keep killing the curse spirit. So, yeah, I mean, the pure blood, I guess, of the sorcerer is very small in quantity.
He's not even looking for pure bloods. He's just looking for people that can become sorcerers, meaning that they have to be sensitive to curse spirits and be able to see them and be able to harness and use curse energy. The way to do this, you could literally do this Jedi style. Literally. Upon birth, when kids start registering for school, come in for this test and just have a spirit chilling in the corner and watch the kids' eyes and see if they glance over at the spirit. You'll know that motherfucker can see spirits. He needs further testing to see if he's going to become a sorcerer. And you could literally find every person in the country that is sensitive to curse energy or that can use curse energy and can then become a potential Jujutsu sorcerer. But they don't do that. They're just like, meh, we'll wait till we find them. They'll come to us eventually. Yeah. Oh, we got the family bloodlines. And it's like, this is stupid.
Their main priority is not recruiting people to join Jujutsu High. That is not the main priority, okay? They are trying to protect the people.
But the villain's main priority is to kill all non-Jujutsu sorcerers so that they can produce more and stronger Jujutsu sorcerers.
Yeah. It's an ideology thing. He knows that it cannot be done. Right? There are discussions that it cannot be done. But he's trying because he's fed up with the world, I guess. He's not at that point, right? So that is the reason why this movie exists. We only know about this because we already saw season 2. They explained all of this in season 2, apparently. That is why I said Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, the movie, is supposed to be its own thing. This is the pitch they give to the studio before they got the green light to get Jujutsu Kaisen Season 1. They don't like the pilot. They made a change to it. That's why they have a different main character in that series. And for some reason, they are trying to fit this pilot project somehow in the second one. That is why we end up with this jumble mess. They aren't supposed to do this kind of thing, but they did, and this is the result that we get from that action, I guess. And yeah, it sucks. But this movie alone, I guess, it is pretty good. It's pretty good if it is a standalone thing, if it doesn't like connect with the first season or the second season. It let us wonder what's going on with this character that we don't even know, right? All the characters that we know is Gojo at this point, Panda, and the two other one, the principal, I guess. And most of the other one, we don't even know. Who the hell was that character? They don't even introduce in the season 1, I guess. So it is interesting, at least, this movie.
You call it interesting. I call it annoying.
And I don't know if you notice or not, but after the credit ends, there's like a teaser of some sort that Yuta is still kicking around, and Gojo, after like a few years, when UGF entered the Jujutsu High, Jojo come and meet Yuta, asking for help or something like that, and that we still remain to be seen. Maybe we'll see Yuta in second season, maybe we not, who knows. But yeah, still interesting. So other than that, that is not because of the story reason, right, that you give it a 5? Not entirely, I guess. If this movie is an its own thing, do you still give it a 5?
If it was its own thing, it'd probably get bumped up to like maybe a 6, possibly a slim 7. Mm-hmm. But it would never get anywhere near an 8 for me.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. A 6 or a 7 is a fair thing. First of all,
for me, like, that's a big part of it. The other part is certain parts of the story, like, the curse energy shit still does not make sense to me. Maybe I'm slow, but it still does not make sense to me. How a curse spirit comes about does not make sense to me, because it's like a curse spirit is supposed to be formed by negative energy,
yes,
around a particular item or place.
Or human.
But then there's also the fact that, and there's the fact that curse spirits don't necessarily get any stronger. Like, once they become a full-fledged curse spirit, they're just like, bitch, I'm here.
Yeah.
But Jujutsu Sorcerer's got to train all the fucking time to get stronger and stronger and stronger in order to fight said cursed creatures. So, like, we just saw fucking Mount Fuji motherfucker, who literally could destroy a whole ass city if he really wanted to. Mm. And he's just like, I'm going to fight Sukuna for no reason. Then you had the fucking fish dude. The fish dude. Dagon.
Okay.
And it's, like, don't get me wrong, the fight scene there was amazing. It was great.
Yeah.
But it's like, the fuck was the point of it? What was the point of it? Because Dagon got his ass whooped by a dude who was not in that place at that time, who then killed Dagon, captured... What's his name? I'm mixing in season two. That's the problem. I'm mixing in season two.
Yeah, I know.
That's why I told you it's going to happen. I knew it was going to fucking happen. Reel it back. Reel it back to the movie. Just the movie. Just the movie. Okay, we've got... God. So we've got Yuta being
Yuta is fighting Geto. Yes.
He's fighting Geto. Mm. But you had that's another thing. Like, I can't even really remember anything that really like any good amazing things that happened in this movie.
You just watched
it. I watched it less than 2 hours ago.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. That's a problem. If nothing stands out to me, that means that I did not enjoy what I was watching.
Oh my! So
when I'm sitting here and I'm like, I can't remember anything great that happened. What the only thing I can really lean into is the fact that Maki was a bitch for no fucking reason, and she's hating on him because of no reason other than he showed up, and she's like, "Fuck him, I'm just gonna ignore him." And then her first move is to try to stab him with a goddamn. I can't remember the name of the fucking spear. Is trying to fucking stab him and then get mad at him when she gets her ass whooped by his cursed spear. Like, seriously?
That's why they changed Maki character in the season one. They changed her drastically, I guess.
That's not the point, though. That's not the point. I did not enjoy this. It was not painful to watch. It was not incredibly annoying. It was, for me, it was mid at best. Like, I'm not going to say I hated it. I'm not going to say it was amazing. It was very mid for me. Because, the only really good thing was the final fight scene between Yuta and Geto. I like the fight between Panda and Geto better. Because when Yuta stepped in, it was some good blows, but the final blow wasn't even something we got to really see. It was just like him unleashing her, and then it was just like flash, and it's over. It's like, the fuck happened? And then this motherfucker just walking away. He has one less arm.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, this is one of those points where if you go watch the movie in the cinema, they don't cut this part off.
Seriously?
Yes. That's also the beginning part that they also shows in the cinema too. They cut that part off in this version, I guess, the general release version. Yeah, that's why it is worth going to the cinema so that they don't really cut off everything in the show. Yeah,
Or they could just not cut it.
Oh my! I mean, in the first act in this movie, Yuta is about to get bullied, right? But they just cut off the whole thing and just said that those guy was injured and stuff. In the cinema, they show everything that happened, and it is a very bizarre piece, I guess. And also, like the last one, they also show everything in the cinema. Yeah, that is why you saw only the flashes, and it is done. Okay, but enough about that. you know, who's Yuta reminded me of? Shinji from Evangelion. It is the same voice actor. Acting this kind of character. And yeah, I just saw Shinji in this other series, you know. This is Shinji, you know. This is literally Shinji whining in other series. This guy said, this is Shinji, man. To be fair, the voice actor did a good job represent this character, you know. But still, it is kind of funny to use the same voice actor to do like to act as this character, you know. Oh my god. But I love the last battle. It is awesome. Yuta finally like become like very cool and very like awesome character right at the end. Damn. And the last one is just sweet, man. Just sweet. And his hunches was right. He is the one who curses that girl. Because he cannot accept the fact that she died from that accident. And oh my god. It all makes sense now. It is really twisted. And I don't know how to put it. It's very dark and twisted. And somehow it is kind of sweet. It is a bit bittersweet ending, I guess. Other than that, Geto just died like that. Really? Really now? He just like combined like what? 4,000 of the collected spirits and use it in that final blow? Really now? Is that it? Is that really it?
That was it.
But we saw him in the second season, you know. Something just possesses his body, I guess. And yeah. It is again twisted again. Oh my. So I guess this movie represents the prequel or the first pitch that the author gave to the studio and to make like a proper story. And we got a different thing. And they now want to fit this whole thing into like the whole series. And they didn't do a great job. So far, I only see like half of the season 2, and I don't like it. They go back and forth too much. There's too many like flashback and stuff, and I don't even know like most of the characters in season 2. Do you recognize most of them?
No, I thought I was just forgetting people.
Yeah, same. But no, they are just new characters that we don't even recognize, or they haven't been introduced to us at all. And they think that we can just accept that and just go with the flow. It just doesn't seem right. There's a big hole that they skip over in second season for some reason. I know this is not like a review for a second season, but it is related, I guess.
It doesn't help that we saw parts of season 2, so we have to connect them together.
Yeah. But the movie is a solid story. They ended the story right there and then. I don't have any issue with that. If I haven't watched the second season, I'm very happy with the movie. It's supposed to be its own thing, in my opinion. They don't have to bring back the character in the movie into the second season, into the main pipeline of the show. What I really want to see is the continuation of the main characters itself, like Yuji, Nobara, and who's the other guy? I don't remember. Megumi, I guess. I want to see more of them. Not this like Gojo Pass and stuff. But still, it is pretty interesting to see. it's a good show overall. It's a fun watch. Any other memorable scene in there, man?
That's about all I got, was that final fight scene, or the fight with him and Panda.
Yeah. There's not much to talk about the movie. It's just really straightforward. Gojo helping this kid deal with his curse spirit and stuff. It is very short too, I guess. Not really much to say. Characters. Should we talk about characters? Is there any characters that really stand out?
No, because we got the same characters from the first season. Then we got Yuta introduced, and that was pretty much all the characters that really got to shine.
Yeah, I don't think Panda has already get like his full power from this movie, right? It's only like a very basic power. Maybe he has only one core at this point. And yeah, most of them are very weak. We don't see Gojo uses his power too. Yeah, there's not much that happened in here. So, yeah. I guess let's conclude the show then. It's a fun watch. Just so you know, you need to watch this movie first before you continue with season two. If we don't watch the movie, man, will all the things that happen in season two make sense?
No. Because it shows how that makes sense for me.
Right? Like, Geto just suddenly shows up and something happened that we don't know of if you don't watch the movie.
And well, no, so you see, you understand why Geto is there, mm-hmm. but you don't understand what happened since he left and like what happened to him, which only is covered in the movie.
Yeah. But what weird thing that happened in here is that we saw Gojo's past and Geto's past in season two. So it's kind of like giving us the initial first act. And then if you don't watch the movie, you don't know what happened right in between there. And they just give us the end. Kind of deal. So this movie is very important to the whole main pipeline of the show now, because they decided that it is important. Other than that, enjoy the show. Now I don't have my hopes up for the second season at all. I don't like what I saw so far in the second season. The animation becomes horrible. It is super messy. I mean, I don't like MAPPA studio animation to begin with. and this just, I guess, make my point stronger to hate them even more. So, any expectation for the end of season two?
Not really.
Yeah.
Not like super, oh, this is going to be amazing, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we saw how Gojo becomes super powerful too. And I love that guy who died, that has no power, that he uses the sword or stuff. You know. What is his name? Tojo? The first guy
which one?
Gojo fought and almost died in season two.
Almost died. In season two. Yeah. What's his name's dad?
Yeah, Megumi's dad.
Yeah.
I like that guy so much. And he died. And he was.
And then he just killed himself.
Yeah.
Can't.
And he was revived, kind of? It
felt so pointless. Well, no. When he killed himself at the end, after he met his son.
Oh, yeah.
It just felt so pointless.
You know he cannot win at that point now. You know, right?
Well, no, like, why was he, like, I understand he was, like, testing his son to see, like, if he lived up to his expectations, mm-hmm. but not even, like, I'm proud of you, kid. And then she kills himself. No, he just kills himself. Out the fucking blue.
I like that guy so much, too. Oh, my. All right. You know about that. So, go watch the movie first, and then watch season two. I don't know if, at this point, after hearing this, you will enjoy season two. but try to enjoy them, I guess. Give it a chance. Shannon, last word about Jujutsu Kaisen?
What happened?
Just what happened, right? Internal issue. Yeah, higher ups. Show being rushed. Yeah. All mess. All right. So I guess that's it. That is the end of our review of Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, the movie, and some of season two so far. If you like what you heard, yeah, please give us a like, give us a follow, and give us a rating on whatever platform that you listen this podcast on. So, Shannon, next week is the end of the year. So what are we going to watch next to wrap up this year, man?
We're going to watch something that's been on my list for a while now, and I think it's finally time we watch it, because it seems weird. Let's end the year on a weird note. This weird-ass year, let's just send it out the way it's been. Let's watch Gleipnir.
What? What?
Gleipnir.
What is that?
I don't know. I saw it on something and I was like, that's weird. And I'm like, okay, sure, we'll watch that. Why not?
Oh, no. I never heard of it. Is that like an old show or something?
2020.
Why I never
heard of it? This can go either way. It's got it's sitting at just shy of a 7 on my anime list. This could go either way.
That is not too bad, I guess. 7 is okay. Not a 5. No. All right. Let's see about it. Gleipnir. Is that what it is called?
Gleipnir, yep.
All right. I hope we wrap up the year with a bang. Or maybe a damn sapphire, who knows? All right. If you have any comment or suggestion regarding our show or any of our future show, you can always hit us up on the interweb. Where can people find us on the interweb, Shannon?
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Shiitake Podcast, or shoot us an email at shiitakepodcast@gmail.com.
All right. With that being said, let's end the podcast like usual. So, Mappa, listen. If you love your audience, don't rush the whole series. Give your animators and your illustrator a chance to breathe and recover. And then continue with the show. You don't need to rush things out. Right? Anyways, just be safe out there and please don't die.
No. When you're saving the world from cursed energy and cursed spirits and all this other kind of cursed ages and shit, but your company's not letting your artists rest properly, you find that there'll be no time to apply.
Oh my, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Happy holidays. Enjoy your Christmas. See you around. Let's say we now, Shannon. Shiitake.